Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Welcome back to another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart. Got Brian Myers in studio with me as well. And then, of course, special guest Jennifer Bowen of Iowa Right to Life is in studio as well. Brian, it's cold out there.
Yes. Yes. I'm not going to sing, "Baby, It's Cold Outside," okay?
But I'm happy about that.
Yeah, okay. But no,
me too.
I don't know what happened. It's like all of a sudden winter showed up.
Well, when I was up at South Dakota yesterday, and it was really odd. I was driving back, and the temperature read 6 degrees. Then as soon as I crossed in Iowa, it jacked up like 10 degrees. So, Iowa, you're just a warmer place.
Either that or you got a faulty thermometer.
That's probably it, too. But I'm just like, what in the world? It went from, 6 to 16, and then the further south I went, finally back up in the 20s.
But your day didn't go south. You had a good day yesterday. It was a long day, but it was a good day.
It was a good day. Yeah, it was a good day.
Hey, and Hawkeyes. Big, big hoop win
huge
over
win.
Michigan
huge,
State.
Huge, as Donald Trump huge. Would say. Yeah, it's nice to have a little payback for
a little revenge,
the Big Ten championship.
A little revenge for the football team. Right. No, the Hawkeye basketball team is a good team. It will be heard from. It's a tournament team.
Yep. Consistency, though.
Yeah, they'll get it done.
Yeah.
They'll get it done.
So I'll be happy to see that.
And when we've got a big Hawkeye game coming up, the Rose Bowl is coming up.
Yep, which will actually be done before you guys.
Yeah, when you hear this recording.
So I'm not going to make any grand predictions here. Say the Hawkeyes won and they lose. No, my question will be,
should pre-record both. We could have the Hawkeyes win.
Yeah,
and then we could have another one where it wasn't so good.
I just wonder if which type of team, because under Hayden Fry, I love Hayden Fry. But the Hawkeyes' bowl preparation just was not the same as it's been under Kurt Ferentz. Kurt Ferentz's bowl record is far better. So I really hope we see some of that Ferentz magic, bowl magic, that we were used to seeing when they play.
That'd be very cool if they finished the year with just one loss.
Because we have not won a Rose Bowl yet, except for, back in the 50s, yeah. So it'd be nice to overcome that.
Yeah. Well, lots of football coming up, but I suppose we should get on with the show.
Yeah, definitely. So we have Jennifer Bowen on in studio with us. And on the line, we have Iowa Right to Life's lead strategist, Sue Thayer. Sue, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, thanks. It's great to be here.
So I wanted to have you both on to talk about we've got a legislative session coming on. And also, we're wrapping up a year, and I just want to give you guys a chance to share some of your highlights. And I'm looking over at Jennifer, and I'm looking at she always has these little babies, and I notice it's swaddled in a Hawkeye blanket. So I'm going to have to get a picture for that for Instagram.
In my defense, I also have the ISU one in my purse too.
Okay,
but you pulled out the right Rose Bowl one.
Yep,
I did. It took me about 8 years to figure that out here in Iowa.
Now listen, I do know the teams now. Listen. You really needed to get them both out. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Hold on just a moment.
I mean, we have standards here. We can't just have this Hawkeye baby out here Cyclone baby.
And actually, I do have two ISU. Does that make
it
better?
Well, take that, Vanderhart.
Oh, well.
You have you and I.
Now the Panther fans are like offended. So
our 12-week babies in utero are wrapped in ISU and U of I.
And later, look at our Facebook page, because I'll have a picture of these up on our Facebook page later after you know. So check that out. And but Jennifer's known for having these little babies around with her. So tell us about, I guess both of you, just a little bit, first of all, I guess with Sue there. I feel like I have ADD today.
I'm not going to help that.
With Sue.
No comment.
Sue, you have a very interesting background. You were a former Planned Parenthood clinic manager. Could you kind of talk, I guess, briefly? I know you could probably take up the entire segment telling us your story about how you shifted from, working for Planned Parenthood to suddenly now you're working for Iowa Rights of Life. Just a small shift.
It's an interesting story and one that only God could author. But I started there thinking I was, really helping women and doing a great thing and bought into all of that. And over the years that I was there, just short of 18 years, I saw many different instances of questionable things and even ethical things. And I thought, that just doesn't seem right. And kind of one of the final straws really was their webcam abortion plans to do chemical abortions with no doctor on site, done by non-medical staff. And that was in about 2007, and that was when, actually, while I was working at the Planned Parenthood clinic here in Storm Lake, I called Iowa Right to Life, and that was the first time Jennifer and I ever spoke. And here we are.
That had to be interesting.
Yeah, now working together. So
you currently have, there's a Medicaid fraud case against against Planned Parenthood of the Heartland as well that you're part of. What's the status of that?
Well, we're waiting on the district court judge to rule on that. It's been there quite a while, but anything in the legal system, we know, always takes time. So we're trying to be patient, but no matter how long it takes, it really doesn't change the, the facts of their practices are need to be reviewed. And as taxpayers, we all want to know that our money goes to places that are above reproach, and there's no questionable practices. So that's why all this needs to come out, and I'm partnering with Alliance Defending Freedom to to do the lawsuit. So
good deal.
And it's not an insignificant lawsuit, of course, by any means. I mean, we're talking not a small amount of Medicaid fraud that Sue was able to identify for them. We're talking about a $5.5 billion lawsuit that has the opportunity to destroy Planned Parenthood by their own actions. I mean, and when you talk about $5.5 billion in this lawsuit, you're talking about they fraudulently went after Iowa money that out of your pocket.
So this is just This is just Planned Parenthood of the Heartland, right? $5.5 billion.
Sue, that's just here in Iowa, correct? I mean, you didn't speak for any other states. That's just Iowa's Planned Parenthood.
Over how many years?
It's a couple years, really, but we have witnesses that have come forward since that have worked there since I've been gone that really say they're doing still the exact same thing. So there are new witnesses coming forward all the time, and that's a good thing because it just cements everything that I've said. And one of the things I think is noteworthy is, when you look at that amount of money, it's really more than you can imagine. But for each single act of fraud, a company could be fined up to $5,500. And so for each, say, pack of birth control pills that they dispensed and collected the full fee from Iowa Medicaid and also billed or coerced a donation from a client, each one of those times is an act of fraud. And so if you figure how many pills they dispense in a year, it's a huge amount.
And that's where we get the $5.5 billion
correct
figure. Okay, yep. I was thinking, how much money do you think they actually defrauded, though? I guess that's what I was thinking. When I heard that figure, it's like,
that's astronomical.
Yeah. It's like, what's their annual budget,
Yeah, no, that includes that would include fines and penalties.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, it's kind of interesting, and I think a little frustrating how this is being done in civil court when really, this should be there should be a criminal investigation. Is there any type of investigation going on beyond what you guys are pushing for through the lawsuit?
Well, I certainly agree with you that, you know, it's gone on long enough, and I first came forward with this in 2008, and it's pretty much been, you know, tied up basically in court ever since. You know, we file papers, and then they file papers to have it dismissed, and the judge rules with us, and then they appeal, and, you know, all of that. So it really has been tied up for a long time. But, you know, the bottom line is they need to be held accountable, and this is really one of many ways to do that, and that sort of brings us to my brand new opportunity to you know, be a strategist with Iowa Right to Life and be able to, you know, talk about how to expose some of the things that go on there.
Great. So let's shift gears here real quick. What's 2015 been like for Iowa Right to Life? What are some things you guys have seen over the past year, Jen?
Well, 2015 has been another incredible year in our work. We talked earlier about the little 12-week baby models that we give away, and we were able to give away across the state, again, another 20,000 plus of those babies, which means nearly 100,000 of these wrapped little tiny truth tellers, we call them, have been distributed in Iowa over the last 2 or 3 years. That's a significant amount.
And tell me the babies they represent, the infants at what, or preborn babies at what form of development?
This is at age? 12 weeks.
12 weeks,
okay. This is at 3 months, 12 weeks.
And again, we'll have a picture up on our Facebook
page.
Exactly,
exactly. And
and people are shocked when they see how well-developed they are at that stage.
Yes. We have babies as small as 7 weeks on up to about 30 weeks is our largest models. And people, no matter what side of the aisle they're on when they're at our booth, they're just floored. I mean, you've got pro-lifers, you know, been pro-life all their life, and they have absolutely no idea the humanity of the unborn. And you have a woman who's like, I don't agree with you on anything. And then you talk about webcam abortion, they see the tiny baby, and they have no idea. And if we can't win this war, we can't protect all life living and unborn until they see the humanity of the unborn. And that's why that is such a huge piece of our work and has become a focal point. Even in 2015, we were at many, many different booths across the state. And because, you know, my goal for this organization is that we will have a conversation with every single Iowan that we can get our hands on, proverbially, you know, and share the truth. And so that was a success. We also saw legislative victory when we saw the ultrasound bill pass, first pro-life legislation in more than 20 years. That was a huge, huge victory. We saw just so many things on a personal note from Iowa Right to Life. We were able to divest ourselves of the old aging building that we were in that was, you know, a money pit. Mm-hmm. And that freed up thousands of dollars a year that can go directly into our educational outreach efforts throughout Iowa. And we are seeing a shift in the culture. And we know that it's there, not just because some polling has showed that, but also because we're talking to Iowans. Some of these Iowans are coming to our booth pro-choice and walking away saying, I don't agree with you on everything, but I'm definitely against webcam abortion. I'll sign your petition. That's a win. That's the beginning of the cultural shift back to a culture of life.
You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio on the Truth Network, 99.3 FM. My name is Shane Vanderhart. In studio, we have my co-host Brian Myers, Jennifer Bowen of Iowa Right to Life. And on the line, we have Sue Thayer, also with Iowa Right to Life. 2016, what are some of your goals for 2016? I think I'll bring both of you in here to talk about that.
Well, I'll just mention that I want to let Sue talk. Specifically regarding Sue, it's one of those things that when I had the idea a couple months ago, I reached out to her. It was like, duh, why didn't I think of this sooner? I mean, Sue is no stranger to Iowa Right to Life. She's mm-hmm. worked with us a whole lot, and it just gives us an opportunity to partner together. Iowa Right to Life has been fairly aggressive against Planned Parenthood of the Heartland. We get sometimes
just
called out
bit.
For that, just a little bit. But we've seen 13 clinics close in Iowa since 2012. And so I don't want just 13 to close. I want all 26 to close. And who better to partner with Iowa Right to Life and give us help and advice than somebody who was in it, a woman who was in the organization for 17 years, who was fired because she wouldn't do abortions, who ultimately was a woman with the right heart in the wrong place. And so it's such an honor to have Sue working with us.
So Sue, what are some of the first things that, you know, that you're going to work on as you start the new year?
Well, first of all, I really like it when you say Sue Thayer with Iowa Right to Life, because that just sounds nice. I'm getting used to it.
It probably sounds better than former awesome Planned thing. Parenthood clinic manager, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Well, I guess, you know, I've had an opportunity to speak to many, many Iowans and people all across the country, really, but I'm always astounded by how people in general don't understand Planned Parenthood. And they think, but they do pap smears or they do mammograms, which is, you know, not true about the mammograms.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, they do pap smears, but they also, you know, take the lives of 333,000 babies a year.
Yeah, almost any other medical clinic would also do a pap smear, right?
Right, right. And, you know, I've heard many people say, well, if you close all these Planned Parenthoods, where are these women going to go? And federally qualified health centers outnumber Planned Parenthoods by 20-1.
Yeah.
And so, you know, states that have two Planned Parenthoods in them are going to have 40, you know, federally funded health clinics that women can go to and get the same care, only it's actually from a doctor instead of non-medical staff. And, you know, right. It's all funded by Medicaid, just the same as a Planned Parenthood is.
Hmm.
So that's the message that I would like to get out. I would love to know that every person in Iowa understands that our beautiful state is their premier location for this horrible thing known as webcam abortion. And this is where it started, and this is where we've got to stop it.
So, Jennifer, top legislative goal for 2016?
We're working on a few things. A constitutional amendment to the right to life. We're working on, obviously, the baby trafficking situation, and we're also working on defunding Planned Parenthood, and those are a few of our priorities.
Great. You can learn more by going to iowartl.org. Thanks, Jennifer and Sue, for coming on Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Thanks a lot.
We'll be back
in
a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Rizold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance
you need.
So we on the line have a good friend of the show, Drew Klein. He's a state director of Americans for Prosperity.
Iowa.
Yeah, me too.
I like prosperity.
Prosperity is very good. He's been on our show several times. And Drew, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, not a problem. So, you guys want to reform Iowa?
Yeah, you know, we think it's time that we do more than just kind of tinker around the edges, and so we decided to roll out an agenda that hopefully addresses some of the big problems that we face and gets us, you know, on a better path. You know, Iowa's traditionally been a kind of an economic leader in the Midwest, and just slowly over time we've started to fade, and
mm-hmm.
that's reflective both in economic growth numbers as well as population growth numbers, and quite frankly, the loss of some representation out in D.C. as well as the census rolls around every 10 years.
Right. Right. So one of the steps that you basically you have five reforms that you guys talk about, at least in the email I saw from you a day or two ago.
Sure.
Put Iowa students first. What does that mean?
Yeah. So we rolled out, like I said, five different things, and I'd really encourage your listeners to go check it all out at reformiowa.com. But yeah, put Iowa students first, I think, is pretty common. We have education policy that seems to be more focused on teachers and teachers unions specifically, and less about actually providing the best education to students. And
okay.
So we believe in market forces as the best way to improve outcomes, and we have largely shielded education from those types of forces. And so we're advocating for education savings accounts.
Okay.
Something that we should start in Iowa and start to expand the marketplace for education as a product rather than simply viewing this as a drain on tax dollars mm-hmm. and a handout to the special interests within the education establishment. We believe that really at the forefront of this thought process has to be the student themselves.
Okay.
And quite frankly, not every student is going to learn in the same environment the same way. And so the best way to give parents and students better options is to make sure that they're the ones making those decisions rather than special interest.
Money follows the student, and basically Iowa, I know vouchers has been a problem in the past because of the Blaine Amendment. So the kind of the workaround with that is this education savings account idea. There's been several different bills proposed over the years. Is there a particular one you guys favor?
Yeah, I don't think it necessarily matters exactly how they work it out. I mean, we'll see kind of how the details come. But I think, you know, there are a number of states that are starting to experiment with this around the country. There are a lot of good ideas out there. There are some that kind of phase it in over time. I don't think we're going to see it all land at one time because of the cost associated with that. But there's also been some talk about starting a pilot program and testing this in some smaller areas or even rolling it out for special education students first
mm-hmm.
So that you can kind of prove the concept. But I think the idea is let's get something going now. And if we can start to build the framework for that, we can kind of expand that over time. But ultimately, I think every student deserves to have access to that system.
Great. Now, I know some of our listeners and some people I know as far as those who are fighting against things like Common Core and different federal education mandates, they'll say, I know they're skeptical about school choice programs. They'll say, what about potential strings attached? Do you see that threat in an education savings account program?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of it has the potential for that. I think, though, that education savings accounts and really anything school choice related is actually good in the long run, because I think the biggest barriers to addressing some of the issues like Common Core or things like that are just breaking up the power of the existing education establishment.
There you go.
You can start
True.
To wear down on the teachers' unions and wear down on the bureaucracy and eliminate some of those. The more choices parents have, then they're the ones making decisions about what type of curriculum they want their students exposed to and all of those different things. So, yeah, I mean, there's always a risk involved.
Mm-hmm.
But the way to get around the risk of having those strings attached is to just make sure that there are more options.
Right.
And people will make the choices that are best for them.
Well, personally, I think education savings account has less of a risk than, say, a straight voucher program.
Sure.
As what I've seen, like, in Indiana and Milwaukee, especially in Indiana in particular, I know they had testing mandates. Even Louisiana, I think it was this way too. Testing mandates that went along with these with the vouchers. So suddenly, you had these schools that are having to do Common Core. Private schools are having to do Common Core aligned tests in order to be able to accept voucher students. Which it's like, wow. Not exactly what we want. I mean,
right.
We didn't, you know, parents aren't wanting to send their kids to private school to suddenly have that private school have to do everything the public school does.
Right.
Good point.
And, you know, as far as Common Core, I know that's not necessarily something you guys as an organization have been primary focus, but as a homeschooling dad, I could say one good thing, positive thing I could say about Common Core is it's increased the homeschooler roles.
Certainly.
Definitely. So reform number two, spending principles that prioritize Iowa taxpayers. What are some things you guys are looking at the state level here?
Yeah, you know, I think first and foremost, the state needs to move to a zero-based balancing process.
What, you mean do what we have to do at home?
Yeah, exactly. And maybe that sounds a little bit intimidating, but really the idea is that we don't start with the assumption that we'll get everything that we had last year and then we'll just build on that.
Right.
That is largely the way that the state allocates money to its various departments and programs and everything, is that we certainly need everything we had last year plus 3% or 5% or whatever the growth rate may be.
I think it was maybe the last time you were on the show, Drew, that you talked about baseline budgeting at the state level, and I had no idea that we were doing that in the state of Iowa. And I shouldn't be surprised, but that's an atrocious way to conduct your financial business.
Yeah, and so I think you know, even just from a common sense standpoint, we should be utilizing a different approach, even if we discover that maybe there's not duplicative spending or programs that just are no longer relevant, which I think we're certainly going to find. Even if that's not happening, we should still do it just from a stewardship standpoint of the taxpayers that we're already sending in.
Right.
But on top of that, I think that will be a great diagnostic tool that allows us to go in and figure out across the, you know, hundreds of departments and agencies and all of the things that exist within state government, what types of functions have we duplicated across those various organizations or many organizations within the state that we could all centralize and start saving some money on those types of things. Because the reality is, in the course of 10 years, we've grown the size of the state budget by 70%.
Yeah.
And we certainly don't see the economy growing at that rate. We certainly don't see population growing at that rate. So we need to make sure that we're on a sustainable spending path as well.
Well, that's one of the concerns that Shane and I have with Governor Branstad. Is it's true enough that he's done a good job of keeping the accounts in balance. I don't dispute that, but he's not necessarily committed to reducing the size of state government or reducing taxes.
Yeah, we have eliminated a lot of the structural deficits that existed, you know, during the Culver administration, mm-hmm. and some of the administrations before that. And quite frankly, when 2010 rolled around, it was enough that you would have Republicans at the state level saying that we're going to practice some better budgeting, you know, type things. We're not going to spend one-time money on ongoing expenses. We're not going to spend more than the state is taking in on a long-term basis. Those were good things. But just because you've seen a growth in income in the state doesn't mean you have to spend every dollar.
Right.
You can send some of that back to the people who sent it in to begin with.
Absolutely. Which kind of is a good segue into the third reform that you guys listed in the email, was make Iowa taxes fairer and more competitive. What do you think we could actually accomplish this coming legislative session?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of times conservatives just talk about cutting taxes, and I think there's certainly room to do that in Iowa. But I think more of an issue, and this kind of goes hand in hand with the spending issue, is that we have to look at the way that we've structured our tax code from the beginning. So if you look at it from a national competitiveness standpoint, we have one of the highest corporate income tax rates in the country. But very few companies actually pay at that level. And so what you've ended up with is a tax code that's just riddled with all of these little carve-outs and handouts and all of these little exemptions. And so, of course, those things flow to those businesses that are most politically connected,
mm-hmm.
rather than making us a welcoming environment for other businesses to set up or relocate to Iowa, do those types of things. So I think what the long-term solution is that we need to get rid of the corporate income tax rate altogether.
Yeah.
That's not probably a political reality this year or maybe even next year. And so what we should be doing instead is let's start eliminating those loopholes and those carve-outs, those exemptions, quite frankly, subsidies for well-connected businesses in Iowa. And as we do that, let's lower the corporate income tax rate dollar for dollar at least that level so that we can start to bring that corporate income tax rate down and make sure that everybody's playing on a level playing field.
You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio on Truth Network 99.3 FM. This is my name is Shane Vanner. I've got Brian Myers in studio with me, and on the line we have Drew Klein, the Iowa State Director for Americans for Prosperity. Drew, yeah, you brought up some great points here because one of the things, you know, I want us to be a business friendly state, but it seems with the Branstad administration, it just seems like it's crony capitalism, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, to put a name on it. The well-connected businesses are getting these tax credits, where the fourth thing you put down here for the Reform Iowa plan is cut red tape to free entrepreneurs and unlock consumer choice. Let's have a free market approach, right?
Exactly. Yeah, you and this is a common approach, so I won't be too critical of you directly, but oftentimes we call it crony capitalism. The reality is it's just cronyism.
That's
true.
Not
capitalism at all, because capitalism means that those ideas that are best and most welcomed in the marketplace are the ones that are going to succeed. And instead, what you have is cronyism, where those ideas that make their way through the lobby and into the legislature and however that process seems to work behind those closed doors, those are the ones that seem to succeed. So we have a lot of that exists in Iowa. And we think that's really the wrong approach, because, quite frankly, a centralized decision-making in Des Moines or in Washington or even at a city council level is not going to be reflective as well as people just choosing how to vote with their dollars for the products that they most want to see in the marketplace. And so that's really what we need to get back to. And I think that gets into the regulatory environment as well, because outside of the subsidies, one of the other things that we see a problem with in state government is that we see regulations that protect the status quo in existing companies to the detriment of entrepreneurs and those that would like to advance and come up with a new idea.
Right.
So that exists both in you know, what you would think of as some basic regulations, but also a lot of it takes place in occupational licensing. I think that's another place that we need to do a lot of looking.
Yes, definitely.
The state code.
Some of that stuff's a joke.
Yeah, well, the best
or
example
nightmare.
Of that, the easiest one to talk about anyway, is cosmetology.
Yeah.
If you want to do somebody's hair, let alone, you know, not even cutting the hair, if you want to braid somebody's hair as a profitable business, it can require up to 20,000 hours worth of training to braid somebody's hair to get a license from the state in order to be paid to do so. It requires more hours of training to be able to braid somebody's hair in Iowa than it does to be an EMT or a paramedic.
That's ridiculous. And my son just finished out EMT school, so I know what the training that they have to do for that. We have 1 minute left. Last thing is reform state government. Just quickly, top priority when it comes to reforming state government.
There are two things in state government. We have to fix state pensions and the unfunded liabilities that exist there. And long term, the correct approach is that we need to eliminate collective bargaining for state employees. We have nobody sitting at the table who's actually paying the bill there. You have somebody that's taking money out of our pockets and then arguing over how much of it they're going to spend. But that's really the only relationship that exists. So those are the two pieces under state government. And again, I really encourage your listeners, check out reformiowa.com, endorse the plan there, and let's start to put pressure on those legislators to do the right thing.
As always, a pleasure, Drew, to have you on. That was Drew Klein from Americans for Prosperity. This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, we'll be back in a moment.
Thanks, Drew.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org.
And now it's time for our news rundown, otherwise known as News You Can Use. Okay, this one is, this is bad. This involves a Christian, okay, quote-unquote Christian, abortion doctor. Carolyn Payne grew up in a good Christian home with loving parents and opportunities to make the most of her life. Instead, she decided to become an abortion doctor. Payne, who is an OBGYN resident, wrote a shockingly bold column for the women's website, XO. There's XO Jane, must XO be that.
Jane. Yeah. Yep.
About how her faith and upbringing influenced her to abort unborn babies for a living. Through her experiences, Payne flaunted her career goal and what she perceived as the importance of training programs for abortion doctors in the U.S. Listen to this. Mm. I love providing abortion care to women, and I am proud to do so, Payne wrote, adding that she and many of her colleagues are not afraid, embarrassed, or ashamed to say so. She explained, "Who wants to be an abortion provider? I do. And I don't have a nose ring or a tattoo. I'm a 5-foot blonde from Ohio, and my last boyfriend was a pastor. In fact, my Midwest Christian upbringing is largely responsible for my belief that providing abortion services is one of the most meaningful ways I can contribute to making the world a more fair and equal place for women."
Wow. Where to start?
What to say?
First of all, a more fair and equal place for women, that probably shouldn't be your primary goal as a Christian, I wouldn't think. Not that you want women treated, you know, unfairly.
Well, that equal place is not the womb, I'll tell you that.
Right. So, and that's my second question is, how does killing unborn children, and that's what she needs, she is murdering unborn children. How does that make the world a more fair and equal place for women? Yeah. That's just saying, she's saying basically that pregnancy puts women in a disadvantage. I think essentially what
she's
saying.
That's one of the things that she's saying.
Which, that is so contrary to what God says in His Word. And this doesn't even get into her understanding of the Christian faith and what right. led her to this choice. I don't even see how you can logically say that Christianity led me to do abortions. Obviously, you don't understand the Word. I
agree, Shane. I think this is more than simply theology. This is deception of the highest order.
Right, right. So, this is so kind of, one of the reasons why we are pro-life, ultimately it boils down to who God is. God says we don't provide abortions because, or we don't support abortions because God says do not kill. Why does He say do not kill? Because God is life. That's why. It boils down to His character and who He is, and she is just totally violating character and His purposes.
When I read this, I was like you were earlier. I was kind of at a loss to even know what to say. But okay, Aaron Klein pays his fine with interest, but he can't talk about it. Aaron Klein and his wife, Melissa, co-owners of the now-closed Sweet Cakes by Melissa shop in Gresham, Oregon, paid out more than $135,000 in damages to the lesbian couple they refused to bake a wedding cake for in January 2013. Klein turned in a check for $136,927.07, which included interest on the July 2015 state-ordered judgment to the Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industries in Portland. I spoke with, or didn't speak with, I corresponded with Aaron earlier this week, and he, by advice of his counsel, he couldn't talk about it.
Right.
You could tell, though, he was dying to tell his story. I mean, he was just reading between the lines, he looked like he was about ready to explode. But the story is, what prompted all of this was the Bureau of Labor and Industries confiscated all of the money in their checking and savings account. This must have happened just a week or so ago, maybe yeah. two, I don't know. But anyway, they apparently had received some funds, you know, some gifts from people that wanted to help out, and I'm assuming that's where they came up with this, you know, $137,000. But anyway, so the fine is paid, and Aaron Klein is you know, desperately trying to hold it all in, but he is absolutely fried at the state of Oregon, I can tell you that.
Right, and I'm just wondering, are they going to return this money? Because they said basically confiscated all the money in the checking and savings accounts, including their tithe. They had an account set aside for church tithe. And just, are they going to give that money back? This is state-sanctioned theft. And here's the thing. We had a chance to talk to them when we were doing a live broadcast, and Aaron said that the actual lesbian couple did not want any money from them. It was mm-hmm. this is the state. Mm-hmm. So this is going to state for who knows what purpose.
Well, now you're right, it's unclear about the 7,000, but I can tell you that the 137,000, give or take, that actually went to the
to the couple. Oh, gosh, yes, because anyway, not getting a cake baked is worth $137,000. That's
okay.
Fries my butter.
Must be a darn good cake.
Yeah. All right, according to Eagle Rising, the Fontbonne Academy, a Massachusetts Catholic girls' preparatory school, has just earned a place in American history. This past week, a Massachusetts court decided that religious institutions like Fontbonne had no right to discriminate against homosexuals by choosing not to hire them. The court said that the religious freedom of those attending the academy was not as important as the right of a homosexual to work for the school.
Yep. Well, gee, we didn't see this one coming.
Well, you have to wonder where this is all going to end.
Right. Well, pastors will be forced to marry same-sex couples. That's,
oh, boy.
And pretty soon we're going to go to the way of Canada where it's going to be illegal to read part of Romans 1 and 1 Corinthians 6.
Hate speech.
Right.
And the Obama administration has been spying on Israel and members of Congress.
Shocker.
According to the Wall Street Journal, President Barack Obama announced 2 years ago he would curtail eavesdropping on friendly heads of state after the world learned of the reach of the long secret U.S. surveillance programs. But behind the scenes, the White House decided to keep certain allies under close watch. Current and former U.S. officials said that topping this list was Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S., pursuing a nuclear arms agreement with Iran at the time, captured communications between Mr. Netanyahu and his aides that inflamed mistrust between the two countries and planted a political minefield at home. The National Security Agency's targeting of Israeli leaders and officials also swept up the contents of some of their private conversations with U.S. lawmakers. And that raised fears of shoot moment.
Yeah.
One senior U.S. official said that the executive branch would be accused of spying on Congress. Well, yes, indeed.
Well, here's the thing. I've seen a couple presidential candidates bemoan this, but they're also the ones that are supporting the NSA program. Marco Rubio and others. It's like, oh, I see. It's okay to just spy on and collect data on the American citizens.
Just not members of Congress.
But not you. Okay, I see how it is. Oh, that's ridiculous.
Oh, my.
Now I'm all fired up. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
You're running late and tempted to disobey that no-walk signal. Waiting can be frustrating. Conflict is like attempting to cross a busy intersection. You really don't want to step off that curb carelessly. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and you're listening to Pause for Peace. We like to use Pause Principle by Peacemakers Ministries to help people make those critical steps towards reconciliation. We find that they create a safe structure in the same fashion as a crosswalk provides the parameters for a safe trip through traffic. Another benefit we find with the Pause Principle is that it reminds us to slow down and take our time to evaluate the situation before moving forward. If you find yourself rushing into the traffic of conflict, please give us a call at 515-635-5465. Crosswalk Ministries is a safe place to make your steps towards God and others.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is our last segment. You're listening. This is Shane Vanderhart, and I got Brian Myers in studio. Just want to encourage you all to check out our website, caffeinatedthoughts.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. If you are a twit, no, you're not a twit. If you do that social media, we appreciate the follows and the likes and just you guys showing us a little bit of love.
Oh, dear.
But we love you guys because we, without the listeners, it wouldn't matter. You know, we'd just be broadcasting to air and it just wouldn't mean much. So you guys make this show possible and we appreciate you.
And now we've come to my favorite part of the show. We're about to share a story that is truly unbelievable. Yet, you know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up!
Okay, this story was from Dan Bruck. Fargo, North Dakota. Local resident Todd Fox has been detained for reckless endangerment and illegal use of high-powered fire-breathing weaponry for attacking snow with his flamethrower. Fox reportedly became so fed up with the week-long blowing snow epidemic in his area that he decided to kill it with fire. The neighborhood was treated with quite a show last night as Fox unleashed an inferno upon the mountainous snow palace that was his front yard. Neighbors to his immediate right and left noticed a bright orange cloud and could hear what they thought was Puff the Magic Dragon spewing mayhem all over, which prompted one of them to notify police. Fox stated that he was simply fed up with battling the elements and that he did not possess the willpower necessary to move 4 billion tons of white bull hockey. Police say that Fox surrendered his efforts immediately upon their arrival and that his front yard looked like a hydrogen bomb had gone off. They think he was just happy to be done with the snow removal, even if it did mean a trip to jail. Unfortunately, I have a disclaimer. Snopes.com says this story is indeed made up.
Oh. Oh, man.
And I was heartbroken when I found out the story wasn't true. But you know what? I told it anyway because I thought it was funny.
Well, I'm reading through this. I'm thinking, this would be perfect onion. This would be a perfect piece on the onion. But I'm like, high-powered fire-breathing weaponry. Is this really? Is this a charge?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know how we were always talking about we're giving the credit or the blame? This one, we're giving the blame to Dan Bruck. So thank you for your submittal, Dan, but it wasn't true.
Always verify. Always verify. But sometimes we'll read it anyway, because, yeah, you're right. This is hilarious.
It was worth reading.
And, frankly, gives us some ideas.
What?
I never thought about using a flamethrower to clear my driveway.
What, are you going to go to the local Army surplus store and buy one?
Maybe. Or just maybe you can construct one. I don't know.
Send your You Can't Make This Stuff Up ideas to story@caffeinatedthoughts.com. That's story@caffeinatedthoughts.com. We will give you the credit, or the blame, as we did today, if we use your suggestion on the show.
I could see the headline right now. Pleasant Hill resident blows himself up trying to clear driveway with flamethrower.
You know, you can do homemade napalm, so you maybe could do that.
Yeah. There's got to be something.
No, wait. Homemade napalm?
You don't want to know.
Hey. You're spending way too much time on the internet, Ron.
This is way old news.
Napalm, if you have a basic understanding of chemistry, napalm is probably not that hard to do.
Styrofoam gasoline. That's all you need.
That's all it is?
Dude.
Pretty much.
Let's set that off in your
I did not know
your
this.
Driveway.
That's what I've been told. I've not tried
I'm
this gonna myself.
Put this, I'm going to put this gel stuff down in my driveway and light a match and go poof. Talk about an orange cloud right there.
I think I'm sitting in a studio with a couple of pyromaniacs today, folks.
I can't imagine the smell that would probably leave.
Your neighbors
probably would not be happy if their houses are still standing. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
We'll see you next week, folks.
Maybe.
Stay safe. Shane's going to be a ball of fire.